A very good afternoon to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 25th September 2022, huh? A Sunday. So we'll continue our sharing from this 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra transcript book. Huh? Okay, in the meantime, as usual, we shall develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Siyin Pusa. Namo Guan Siyin Pusa. Namo Guan Siyin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo, Namo Amitofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supadipano bhagavato sauka sango sanghang namami. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu mitachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya macchapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now turn to page 3. Yeah? After chanting book, we will chant the Padipa Puja. Huh? Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarpa ditena dipena tamadang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujae pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna gandha guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokkhang upang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang adivasetu no bante bhojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu motamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration. Based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of defiers of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful, Puja. Buddhang Puja. Dhammang puje. Sanghang puje. Okay, you all can be seated. Before we start, I think we will do the invocation to the Deva. Turn to page 6. Okay, invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Bija charana sampano sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta leva manusanang Buddho Bhagavate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can visit us. And we shall continue on page 39 of this transcript book, the 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Okay. So somewhere after the first paragraph. Now we shall go back to the sutta. So the important matter is the knowledge and vision of the Buddha, which is, I repeat, worldly people, deluded by the external phenomena, will attach themselves to marks. So, mark of what? Mark of a self, cultivating. Mark of being, existing, and mark of life means living life, and also finally mark of others. Worldly people, oh sorry, it's okay. Yeah. So that one we have covered. That's why there is division. The mark of a phenomenal world, mark of life and mark of Dhamma, all these are marks. And deluded by the inner world, which is our inner world, Oh, sorry. I asked a question in bracket. Inner world. What is our inner world? What do you do when you are alone? You think a lot, isn't it? So your inner world is your thought process, your sankhara activity, your mundane mind, that condition arising mind, that thinking mind. That's why you think a lot. You chatter a lot. You verbalize a lot. Means you talk to yourself a lot. They attach themselves to emptiness because they use knowledge. They didn't have the clear, complete realization. Then the thought will tell them, like the one in bracket, or open apostrophe. Everything is empty, why worry? So in bracket, I say, do you think they can be free from suffering when they use this thought to think that way? Also, they may quote, according to Bradfield, everything is not so real. Then why do you attach? Why do you cling? Please let go. So all these are thought-based knowledge. Then I said, but how to let go? The person who holds cannot let go because there is delusion. You need understanding. The moment you understand, you will not hold. That's why there is no necessity to hold. Hence, you don't need to let go. That is the understanding. Not what you teach, or sorry, not what they teach you to practice letting go, or practice non-grasping, or cut at feeling, so that craving cannot arise, etc. These are all words only. For those who understand, there is no such cultivation. It may appear logical, but for those who understand, it is completely not the case. If you don't have the wisdom or the understanding, you will grasp, you will cling, you will hold. There is nothing you can do about it. That's why you need wisdom to free. Without wisdom, nothing frees. And awakening also need wisdom because nothing frees you except your understanding or your wisdom. That's why if you don't have the stability of mindfulness, the heedfulness to awaken, you cannot use Dhamma knowledge to free because you are using words, concepts and ideas. The Buddha said, anicchang dukkhang and anatta. That is, everything is impermanent, lead to suffering. And because it is impermanent, it is a non-permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self, empty nature or existence. So if I give meaning and whole, I will suffer. Then not real means not me, non-self, etc. But when the physical body gets injured or gets sick, all the Dhamma is forgotten. Then they say, "Ayo, I must see a doctor. I must do this. I must not complain. How come this time it is so terrible? The last time I went to see the doctor, he gave me some medication and I recovered. Now maybe old already." So you continue to justify, to complain. Then you may say, when I was young, my body is so good. Now here rheumatism, there rheumatism. Walk also not steady. Vision also blur. Hearing also not so clear or well. Ayo, howla, the Malaysian type of what they call this one is slang, Malaysian slang. Who is saying all this? The form and mind, the second aspect, which is the thought. And that one is not you. That's why the Buddha said the five daily contemplation, they are very important. Do reflect on them. do reflect this body of yours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. Because it goes the way of nature. It is not you. It's impermanent, it's condition arising, dependent originating. Contemplate on all this. Reflect on them every day. Do you do this until it becomes very clear and very stable? Then you will understand. Because these are elements within the physical. No knowing. When you meditate, you will know why it is not you. Because apart from being aggregate only, there is no consciousness. Hence, no knowing. But because as a human being, we have a consciousness that is trapped inside, then this consciousness with its content or the other aggregates of mind keep on arising and passing away, yet you are still around. Then you can develop the understanding, how can feeling be you? How can perception be you? How can the sankara activity, your views, your opinion, etc. be you? Then how can the consciousness that arise and pass away be you? How can the thought be you? That's why there is no thinker behind the thought. Then a lot of cultivators are so gullible and so deluded. Every time they have anger or hatred or fear, do you know what they will say? They say, "Ayo, I fail again. I still have anger." Failing to understand that anger was never you. That's why when your sakayadity or self-delusion is still very strong, how can you free? Later, when you meditate, thinking that you are a very good cultivator, and you may think you will not get angry anymore. Then when there is anger, you are affected, and you become unhappy, and you complain, "I've been meditating for so long." And my vipassana jnana already confirmed by the monk that I had attained what jnana and what jnana. Yet I reacted and still get angry. So what is happening? This is not understanding the Buddha's teaching. Where the Buddha said, before anger arise, there was no anger. You are supposed to silence your mind, develop mindfulness, and be aware to trace the origination factor or to see how anger arises. Did you do that? If you do that, you will understand. Then you will not complain, "Ayo, I still have anger or got anger." I come here to meditate. I'm supposed to have more peace, more calm, and more clarity, leading to good meditative experience. But I'm not getting all this. My meditation is lousy. Maybe I should look for another teacher, use another technique, another method, and go to another temple. Sound familiar, right? This is what your mind will tell you and create more doubt in you. Maybe that teacher is not so good. And I heard that that other one is very good. It seems they say it had realized arahantship already or whatever. So this is what gullible cultivator will do, because the real understanding is not there. That's why I say you can go everywhere and yet you cannot find truth, because truth is within you. Truth is not outside of you. It's within your nature. When your nature awakens and realizes, everything has become clear. No need to search. What is searching? Who is searching? The best is the quote, the famous quote by J. Krishnamurti. What happens if the searcher is the search? You go everywhere searching for a teacher, an enlightened one. But the truth is the searcher is the search. What you are trying to search? Sorry, the question is, what are you trying to search? You want to search for enlightenment, isn't it? You meditate because you want to be free from all suffering. So this is what you are searching for. Searching for enlightenment. Who is searching? Actually, your nature itself is searching. But you don't understand what that nature is. You use the mundane mind, which is not your true mind, to search. That's the reason why you cannot realize. Because the nature within, or your true mind, is within. This is supposed to be your nature. But instead, through ignorance, you use the mundane mind or the thinking mind to search. That's why you cannot find. This is what happens. The thought takes you around, maybe go many rounds to Holland, the Chinese dialect, and don't know how to come back because you use the mundane mind to search. You cultivate all those thought-based meditation, and you never look within. In fact, that nature, which is your true mind and your true nature, has already or always is always there within you. Your nature is already awakened. This is the one you are searching, your true mind. But you run all over the place searching outside. That's why in the earlier sharing, if you may recall, Master Shen Hua remind us to reverse the light, wei guang fan zao, and look within. This is what meditation is. The silent mind cannot think. It can only be aware of all the movements inside. Meaning the sankhara activity of the forming mind. The dependent originating activity. The essential dhamma. The three evils, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, etc. Within. They are all inside of you. Sorry, never mind. They are all inside for you to be aware. But you all never meditate this way because you all use the thought, the mundane thinking mind, to go and look for Dhamma. Look for the word impermanent. Look for calmness, look for piti, look for sukhang, look for jnana, jhanas, and all the other psychic ability, viyadhamma knowledge. This is the part. Cultivator don't understand or haven't realized. If you don't have this understanding, you will not be able to understand the Buddha Dhamma. You will not be able to awaken. Because to awaken is very simple. Just search within. Everything is within you. Everybody has the Buddha nature. Everybody has the potential to realize that Buddha nature. The Buddha nature is never apart from your form and mind. It's always connected to it. The only reason why you cannot realize it is because you are lost in thought. That's why you deluded. That's how you deludedly cling to the phenomenal world created by thought, which is essentially consciousness and its content. That's how the phenomenal world of consciousness deceive you and make you believe that this is real and make you believe this is what you are. Do you remember the Surangama Sutra's teaching? Who becomes a traveler in space and time? So it is mentioned in the Surangama Sutta, consciousness created the world and the continent. And who becomes a traveler in space and time? Oh, so fast you forgot or forget. I will write it down again so that you all can remember. Consciousness created the world and the continent. Who is the traveler in space and time? I can give you a hint. Start with K. Very good. You got it, huh? It's the knower. So the knower becomes the traveler in space and time. This knower comes about from where? from your self-delusion. Because you think the consciousness is you. You think there is somebody who knows. Who knows? Because you think there is a knower behind the thought. When you perceive something, you think there is a knower behind the perception. There is somebody behind the feeling. That is self-delusion. This knower is an illusion. It is a sacrality of self-illusion. You, the thought which is egoistic, created the knower. There was nobody there, it's just the consciousness. Do you remember the physics experiment? The Buddha said in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. Understand that, so that the consciousness does not become egoistic. How can you meditate when your consciousness is so egoistic? Most meditators complain, we are saying, I still have anger. My meditation is no good. Who is saying all this? The thought, the egoic mind. The I and the me. Then they may say, maybe my teacher is no good. Again, the mind project. Then how can you meditate? This is sacrality. You are supposed to be silent and just aware. When you are just silent and aware, it means this knower does not exist. There is nobody to be aware inside that. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, like the physics experiment. Do you remember? The physics experiment involved the light bulb, the battery, and the switch. Upon contact, what happened? The battery is analogous of the mind, power source. And this switch is the contact. Upon contact, what happened? The light bulb lights up, and you become conscious of what you see. Do you need a God to create seeing consciousness? This is automatic. Arise via Nietzsche's law, isn't it? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Your seeing consciousness is the same. So is hearing consciousness. It's just like one becomes conscious of that thing. There is no one behind the seeing. It's just the seeing consciousness. The Buddha explained this teaching to two of the monks who met him in the Vamika Sutta. During Kāsapa Buddha's time, there were four monks then, who later took birth during the Buddha's time and supposed to meet him and become Arahant. He taught two of them this same teaching. One of them met him when he was doing the Pindapada, the alms round. He wanted to see the Buddha. The disciple said, no, you have to wait till the Buddha finishes his alms round. Then you can come. He said, no, this is urgent. I cannot wait. I may not have the time to wait. Then the Buddha overheard this. The Buddha came over, saw, and knew the condition behind. Then the Buddha spoke to him, okay, can you wait? Afterwards, I will come back and I will teach you. The monk said, no, I may not live that long. I may die before that. So I need to talk to you now. The Buddha then said, okay, now you can ask. What is it that you want to know? I want to understand life. He said, I want to realize enlightenment. How can I awaken? Then the Buddha said, okay, do listen. Then asked him to sit down. Then through those conditions, with clarity of mind, the Buddha instructed him. He just said, this 16, in the seeing, is just a seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. In the hearing, is just a hearing consciousness. No one to hear. In the smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, is just the same. There is no being within. But there is an awareness nature which can be aware of all this. Straight away, that monk became an Arahant. You want me to repeat? Then maybe some of you may also become Arahant. It's really that easy, not that difficult. When you are ready with the condition, you can awaken, or you will awaken. This diagram on the physics experiment, I purposely draw it out to let you understand it clearer. Every moment of sense experience is just like this light bulb. It will light up. Which means the awareness is aware, or it has become conscious. It's not a being inside that become conscious. Consciousness itself naturally arises. At the moment of sense experience, it's just that consciousness that is the one inside. But when did the ego or self-delusion or atta goes in? When? When you act according to memory. Your memory tells you what? I see, therefore I am. Do you understand? Since birth until now, I always say, I see. When people ask you, who is the one who see? Now we can go through it again. Who is this I, the capital I? Because you always say, I see, isn't it? Let's go into specific. Who is this fellow? That's why if you are gullible, you will never investigate. You never investigate deep into it. You will not understand. This is the egoistic mind that we talk about. But you cannot define what this is. So when I ask you, who is the I that see? How do you answer? You answer the form and mind, following the text again. Because you never investigate. And you never aware. And you are never aware. But when you meditate, you will come to understand that without I, the EYE, you cannot see, isn't it? So without the eye functioning, you cannot see. Then if you are gullible, you will say, maybe my eye see. But you never check. Is it true that your eye see? With eye, you may not see, because when you are asleep, with eyes open, you cannot see. A dead man with eyes open also cannot see. That's why I alone doesn't see. Why can't you understand all this? Then why can't you see? Then you try to be smart. You say, I need the mind to see. Then you say, maybe my mind see. Then you introduce another one. Instead of I see, EYE, you say, my mind see. Do you agree? Don't agree. Why? Tell me why. Why the mind alone cannot see? With mind and I can see. But you say, if it's the mind alone that see, how can you be right? Because the dead man without mind, the dead man without mind cannot see. So you think you are right. With mind only, I can see. But if you ask a blind man with mind to see, can he see? Can the blind man see? He cannot see, isn't it? So mind alone doesn't see. Eyes alone doesn't see. Then what is seeing? The three conditions have to be there. There must be the eye that is functioning. There must be a battery with the energy similar to the mind. Then there must be contact with the sense data. When these three conditions come together, the nature's law automatically trigger off that seeing consciousness. That's how the consciousness arises, or the light bulb lights up. So seeing is dependent originating, condition arising. It's not created by God. It's not a being. It's not a soul inside that is responsible for seeing. Can you follow? You are supposed to see all this in your meditation, awareness-based meditation. If you have daily mindfulness, this is what you will see. The direct seeing before the egoistic mind or egoic mind comes in. You see things as they are. What does it mean? The pure seeing, like a baby seeing, seeing without words, without concept, that's what happened during the early days of my cultivation after 1989. Something just happened. Then when I looked at everything around me, I was so amazed. I looked at things as a completely, as a whole, complete seeing. I don't look at the concept of a flask, or a Tupperware, or a bell, or whatever. No. Those are words. The seeing is the actual perception of it without the words. When you say, I saw this table, you are not seeing. This has become a concept that you create in your brain via your mundane mind. The I is the egoic mind. The direct seeing is just the consciousness or awareness that is conscious of it. There is no naming, no labeling. That is the meaning of seeing things as they are. They are the direct seeing. Do you understand this table? Sorry, do you think this table knows there is a table? To a Malay-speaking person, it becomes meja. And to a Mandarin-speaking person, it is zuozi. Then what is this fellow? This fellow is as it is, has no name. But because it performs a function, you give it a concept, then it arises, and you call it a table. That's why the Zen master whacked the disciple who claimed to be enlightened, and yet the master pointed to the table and asked, what do you see? The student replied, table. The master straight away whacked him. The master said, you say you are enlightened, and yet there is still a table. Because he still perceived form. So, like the Surangama Sutta is mentioned, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception via the direct seeing is wisdom. So, consciousness created the world and the continent. All of these that existed in this existential world, they are all mind-made. Mind-made are they, only consciousness and nothing else. That's why the whole of existence is a phenomenal world of consciousness. You understand this, you understand the meaning. Oh, sorry, you understand the teaching. Okay, can you all follow? This is like a revision. You go back and read the Heart Sutta notes. It's all there. I had shared it under the Surangama Sutra teaching before, and it's mentioned on many occasions within the Heart Sutra notes. Yes, pass the mic to Sister Mei Xian. At that time, Mei Xian was around. So, question by Mei Xian. I just want to clarify the seeing consciousness. We have the mind, the organ, and then we talk about the contact. Can you explain about the contact? Then I reply, contact is just contact. When the mind is there, it will make contact, isn't it? When you direct your mind at the seeing consciousness, it will make contact, isn't it? Not only come together, your mind is the common denominator. The mind that is aware can be everywhere or anywhere. When it's aware, if you want to see, it's not a person. See, the form of mind, if you want to see, what does it do? The mind will go to where to see, isn't it? So that you can have the consciousness of seeing. Then if you don't want to see, like a very loud vibration comes to your ear, then what happens? It goes there. Because this sense data imprinting the ear is stronger. So this one takes over while you are daydreaming, creating sankhara, or building castle in the air. Then somebody, maybe Wai Hong, comes from the back and call, hey, Mei Xiang, or maybe honey, or darling. Then what happened? Your counsel suddenly no more. Your Sankara also no more. Then this one, which is more powerful, takes over. And you reply, anything. Then he said, nothing, just a joke. Then maybe you got angry. I was having this Sankara creation, and I was enjoying it. Then why did you suddenly come along and disturb me? That's how you may function as a human being. While you're walking, thinking, happy, go lucky, let's say, you didn't wear a shoe, then suddenly, pricked by the nail or a broken glass or a sharp stone, ayo, your mind goes there straight away. It means contact is there already. You forgot about what you are thinking because the sensation, that tactile consciousness takes over. That's how you function as a human being. Wherever you place your mind, there will be contact. That's why I say, wherever you place your mind, energy will build up there. Because it's consciousness. Without the organ, how can the consciousness arise? Means the sense basis. That's why it needs the organ or the sense basis as a condition for it to arise, for it to light up. Let's say the battery was put in the reverse order, then no current. No current means light bulb won't light up, isn't it? It's like if your karmic force is not there, no more heartbeat. And you cannot become conscious anymore. That's why the light bulb cannot light up. That's why the dead man cannot see. So when the battery is there, the moment you press the switch, it will light up. The switch is like your mind. Wherever you place it at the organ, it will establish contact. Then upon contact, if you are mindful, it's very beautiful. It's just like the light bulb. Of course, the pronunciation. You know what is it? Like you become conscious. Then at that moment, it can be nothing. You can be at the moment of contact. At the moment of consciousness. That's why I say when your mindfulness is very stable, you can be aware of all this movement or see all this. It's not a theory. You cannot just say, Brother Teo say, upon contact, seeing consciousness arise. Without the stability of mindfulness, you cannot be aware and be with the moment in silent awareness. Straight away, the perception will come out. Your views, opinion, and conditioning, the association with what you see, they will all surface. And then you start your description. Wow, this is beautiful. This is very nice. I want to take a photo shot with my handphone. While you are doing all this, you are not mindful. You are hardly aware because these are your habitual tendencies. This is how most human beings live their life. But when you are mindful, it's completely different. You will have the understanding. Then you decide. It's like what I had shared with you all before in the morning. When your bladder calls and you go to the toilet, most of the time, how you come out from the bed, you also are not aware. How you enter the toilet, how you open the toilet door, how you unzip to answer nature's call, also you don't know because you are not aware. Then how you sit in that posture, also you are not aware. The only thing you may know is when you are sitting on the WC, answering nature's call. The Buddha said you are supposed to be mindful of every action, every movement in the present moment. You can only be conscious But you are not aware. Conscious when you have released it out, because the tactile consciousness that is disturbing is no more affecting you. You are hardly aware. You are only conscious. That is relief already. That is not mindfulness at all. That's why I say you are conscious of life, but you never leave life. You are hardly aware. You are not with the moment. When you are with the moment, you can decide. You can tell the thought, no, not you. I decide. I can decide when to go. Even under very severe emergency, you have to go. You can still decide. I have tried it before. I just said, now I decide. Then I come out mindfully from the bed, mindful of all the movement, the activity, like how the comforter or blanket will move, how my hand moves, how I turn, get down from the bed, all fully aware. Then how I walk to the toilet, body and mind as one. Which hand comes out to open the toilet door? Sometimes, if it's not locked, I just push it. Then how I turn goes on to the WC, unzip. How I sat down, answer nature's call, etc., all fully aware. That is what mindfulness is all about. It's not a joke. You have to do it. That is just the beginning. You have to be in that state throughout the day. That's why I said, start with your daily activity at home. Things you have control of, where you don't have to be subject to external interference. Because the moment you move out of your house, all your other senses are fully engaged, especially when you are driving your car. You have to be conscious of what you see. Then you must have the awareness, the mindfulness, and the attentiveness to act and to drive. There are a lot of things going on. That's why if you are mindful, that's why if your mindfulness is not stable enough, you cannot cope with life. Your sixth sense door, they move so fast. You are fully engaged. Sankara arise and pass away so fast, creates so many stories for you. The egoistic mind is so fast, yet you are completely not aware. You are still thinking, ayo, what to do when I reach the office? Ayo, red light already. Then getting angry and unhappy, etc. Means you react to what happened in life. Most living beings are not mindful, not aware. You are hardly aware because you are not able to be silent. Your spiritual faculties are not stable, whereas your mental hindrance, they are very strong. And you haven't straightened your view. That's why the whole of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is a very elaborate practice of cultivation. You have to do it to experience it and understand all this. So that what I describe and share, you can follow. If you have not done so, you may not understand or even be skeptical as to command. Can the cultivation be done in such a manner? Can the cultivation make you such? True or not? Then maybe you will go and ask Brother Song. If Brother Song say, I don't know, I also haven't done it, then you will become more doubtful. If you listen to this recording, it will help you a lot, because if you listen attentively and put it into practice, the cultivation can come about. Can you remember that day sharing by Sister Mimi during the Tuesday class? What did she draw on the whiteboard? The Buddha and his teaching. What is lacking? Phase one Dhamma is the learning of the teaching. understanding the teaching until it is very clear, and then put it into practice. That's what a lot of people didn't do. In fact, the first one, learning of the teaching, also never do it correctly. Because you think you know, but you never write it down. You are not focused. You don't have the full picture. You only think, yeah, relative, you keep on repeating all this. I must be mindful. I must be mindful and heedful. But you never go into it. What is heedfulness? What is mindfulness? How is it possible for me to develop the quality of mind called heedfulness or mindfulness? Then you have to start training your mind to be aware, developing the five spiritual faculties to overcome the five mental hindrances. Have you done them all? After you have done that, your meditation will progress. When your spiritual faculties take over, no more mental hindrance, then most of the time you are aware. Then you stabilize the awareness. You can use a method or a technique or a skillful means like anapanasati to stabilize it. Otherwise, you have to develop the form of meditation in whatever posture that are more suitable for you, whether lying down or anapanasati, etc., until your mind becomes so subtle and so quiet, until like no more movement, until the mind enters sati, leading to pasati, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. Only such a mind can come out into the daily life to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Unless the mind is in sati, daily mindfulness is impossible. When the mind is in sati, the form and mind will know, you will know what will happen. Because every moment of hearing will be in sati. Every moment of seeing will be in sati. Every moment of smell, taste, tactile, thought, or arising of sankhara, the mind is always in sati. That sati can see, can understand, because it can be at the moment of contact, moment of consciousness, moment of feeling, moment of sankhara activity, and all mental movements. All these are possible because your mindfulness is already very stable. Like I used to share with you all, it can be at the moment of contact. It just stay there. No sound, but the awareness is just there. Because there is no more delusion. That's why upon contact, the feeling is there. And feeling will remain as pure feeling because it cannot move. If you want to think, it will arise sankhara, mental thinking. It can be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of perception, etc. When it perceives something, the perception that comes out, although it's also from memory, but it's the pure non-grasping aggregate of mind that you use. You are not deceived or deluded by it because you know this is condition arising. Impermanent, dependent, originating, empty, and not you. So feeling is not you. Perception is not you. All this thinking, sankhara activity, views, opinion, etc. are not you. Then why do you allow them to delude you, deceive you, and make you so miserable and afflicts you until you suffer, until people can go into depression and wants to commit suicide? For the enlightened ones, they know without delusion, you will not get into all this entanglement. But because of delusion, it has its power. It becomes possible for living beings to go through suffering, misery, even to the extent of having suicidal thoughts, because they are very severe, depressive thoughts, which have become intrusive and compulsive. You have heard of this word, isn't it? They call it obsessive, compulsive, and intrusive. All this, the psychiatrists have a word for it. I forgot which word. they have got a term for it. It's called OCD. OCD means it's a condition where there is obsessive and compulsive disorder. The thought becomes obsessive and compulsive, and it keeps on intruding into the mind because of your attachment, delusion to that incident, which can make you very miserable or sorrowful, like loss of a loved one or a very bitter memory of something that has happened to you before, like child abuse, relationship failure, divorce, etc. It has such a great impact on you. That's why this thought keeps on coming back to haunt you. It's so obsessive, compulsive, and intrusive. You cannot stop it because of your own delusion, lack of understanding, and clarity. This is what the mundane mind is all about. We are delusion and ignorant. It can be conditioned into such state. So have I answered your question? Yes, very good. So use the mind, huh? Question from me, Sam, again. Do you understand? If you can explain this concept again with our thoughts. Oh, sorry, do you mind if you can explain this concept again with our thoughts? Then I reply, explain again? You can listen to a recording, isn't it? Why do you want it to be repeated? We can spend our time on more useful things. If you listen to a recording and you still cannot understand, then you can ask again. Then I can explain it one more time. It's recorded unless Miss Lee again make a mistake, meaning the battery has not enough charging, still have light. Okay, good. It means it's recording. So Miss Yang, don't worry, it's recorded. There is an assurance given. Now you can have an idea of what this is, but don't attach to it. Attach to it means don't go and look for it. Before you have the stability of mindfulness, you cannot understand. So don't try to look for it in the meditation. You may say, Brother Theo, I can be at the moment of feeling. You may try very hard to be very hard in your meditation inquiry. Is this contact? Or vocalizing inside there, chattering and trying to confirm. We are saying, yes, this must be contact. I saw the contact. Then the feeling come. Then this feeling really becomes craving very fast. If you meditate this way, you can forget about it. That's why I say, when you meditate, don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just silent. Just allow that mindfulness to understand. The silent mind will understand by itself. How many of you have really tried that? Oh, very good. There are some who have tried or who have done it. Better let Sister Alicia share. Then after that, Mindy can also share, because these are the people who have done it. So they know, because they straight away put up their hand. And then Alicia replied, once I was doing my repentance, after that, I called to mind Pusian Pusa. Then my mind was just like what you said. Yes, the shift of consciousness. Then you become fully aware and you connect to your nature via your faith, Sada. Then after that, the mind that is in Sati will know what it is. That's why she, after going through 17 years of depression, yet over the last 3 years, she can still be so beautiful because she has developed this awareness to be aware. She can even tell you how all this sankara activity, which are all wrong thought, torment her until she can tell the mind, and now you have already deceived me for 70 plus years. Enough is enough, finish. Then all those wrong thoughts, straight away, they are gone. These are wrong thoughts that condition a fear, a worry, a anxiety, a sorrow, a lamentation, leading her into depression for so many years. She understood what wrong thoughts are. She realized all the thoughts she was thinking previously, means the last time, were full of envy, jealousy, hatred, and other unhappy thoughts. Every time, pointing fingers at others. Things like, why is my sister-in-law like that? My brother-in-law like that? My husband, my children, and my good friend also like that? Why can't they understand me? This is how people in depression will think. How can my life be so unlucky? Why is God so unfair? They keep on doing this until it becomes a habitual tendency because you keep on thinking about it in that manner until it becomes a cocoon of thoughts, depressive thoughts. That's how one enters depression, like a tape recorder. They keep on repeating. Then sometimes you may have a sense of remorse because you have parents who have passed away. Then you lament and say, I should have done more. I should have paid more attention to them, or to what they say when they are still alive. If I know they are going to die, I would not have reacted that way and said all those things to my parents. Because of delusion and remorse, these things can haunt you and make you miserable. Why must you allow all this to torment you? We are clinging onto them to memories. For the past is already gone. So what must you do? It's no longer a reality. And what are you doing? Why are you still thinking about it? Meaning, you give meaning to them. You attach, you cling, you grasp, and you accumulate them into your memories. That's what you are doing. All these are scars of memories. Your anger, your hatred, your remorse, you blame yourself for not doing enough. All these come from the egoic mind or sakyadity, self-delusion. Can you understand? That's why accumulation is the cause of suffering. How you accumulate? Through your own anger, hatred, remorse, jealousy, and your fear, your phobia, your scars of memory, etc. You keep on thinking about it, holding on to it, clinging on to it. When people talk to you, you don't want to listen. You say, Anna, I do not wish to be disturbed. Then you lock yourself up. That's how you enter depression. If there is no good karmic condition from the past, if you have not helped people before, if you don't have the condition to come out of it, nobody will come around to help you. But if you help people before, like Alicia's case, then when she encounters such problem, there will be people who will bring her to the right Dhamma. Then after she understands, she helps so many people. Her good friend in Macau and other friends of hers, like Alicia, Elsie, etc. She brings them to the Dhamma. So this is what karma is all about. Karma is you reap what you sow, do good begets good, and do evil begets evil. Whatever goodness, wholesomeness, action you have developed through your pure love, compassion, genuine and sincere intention to be a blessing to all, to help those who are in need of help, will translate into merits and karmic friction that will allow you to reap them in the future. For you reap what you sow. In future, when you are afflicted, there will be people who will come and help you, bring you to the correct teacher for with the right Dhamma understanding for you to come out of it. So do not be selfish. When you have the understanding, whenever there is condition, you should play your role. and do your duty, because it's just the form and mind subject to this law of karma. If there are conditions to act, to advise, you just act, advise, and do. Then you can invoke power of merits to arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. So all these are so beautiful. Now we pass the mic to Mindy to let her share. Then Mindy share. 4:11. Okay, we stop here. So that we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, so I will off the mic now, so that you all can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. 45 minutes. Okay, just relax body and mind completely, silent everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. Stabilize the awareness. Then use it to meditate, okay? Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, or sharing that one may happen. Okay.
Actually, 我想 share 一点点 continue from the last Thursday.
可以，沙丘。
Actually, Radio, 你记得 last Thursday when I share about my 那个 smell 的 consciousness.
对。
You mentioned about 那个是第七次的时候。
对。
然后
哦，上次。
对，那我 suddenly 有一个 understanding， 其实那个分别心、suddenly 它就可以转那个分别心成为一个 sort of like 一个 wisdom 的，所以让你
对，
所以我当 Brad 就讲那个是第七次，然后我就明白到哦，原来以前我们读六祖坛经里面有讲转化是成四字那个，然后我讲，然后我 was like 哇，原来是这样。
Yeah,
you know, I was like full of joy. Then
yes.
I came to understand. 其实他所说的转，其实如果你再探讨下去，其实是没有什么可以转的。其实那个就是那个是的道吧，那个实相来的就没有了。
对，
所以就是这个一个 understanding。
Very good. That's why 它就是一个 understanding 嘛了。Like 我们以前 go through 了啊，它是一个 universal manasikara 的 understanding。它 at the moment of sense experience， 它如果没有 universal manasikara 啊，它第七识啊就会 stir the mind， create the 分别心。But because 你了解了嘛。You are nearby, there is condition for it to arise. So, 因缘法就是跟着因缘跑咯。That's why you will know how to accord and flow and accept the reality. So, 那个 straight away will arise. Then, at the moment of sense experience, 你了解了的那个过程。That's why 它就不会怎样去 like, disturb the cultivator 了的。Then the cultivator will know how to accord and flow and develop the understanding to be with it. Like 我每次讲的 living being got two choices. One is to react to it through lack of understanding, 因为你不能接受嘛。Then 他的 thought 会 create sankara 的你说那个第七识色啊 or the seven consciousness 啊It will trigger the eight consciousness, and the eight consciousness will tell you a story. Then sometimes the thoughts say, 那已经跟 Freddy 讲了，不要去这个地方吃什么。It will clear. But luckily you had the Dhamma, you understand why he wants to go there, because the food there is okay. Then that's why I say, 每一个过程 is like For us to develop understanding, but life itself is our greatest teacher. We can learn from actually life existence reality, whatever that arises within the conditioned reality or the conditioned world. If you have the Dhamma understanding, it can trigger the Dhamma to like enable the cultivator of the way to arise the understanding. Then like for your case, you remember the Liu Chu Tan Jing, it's like just a flip, 转过来就是智慧了。So 无明跟智慧, actually the difference is not much on. The moment you awaken, it flip over, then it become that understanding. But when you are deluded, you are trapped on the other side, which obscure completely the nature. That's why those who are deluded, those who don't have the Dhamma, they cannot see. They are like obscure. The English word is obscure. Like in Mandarin, you all call something obscure you. Like you all cannot see through it, you all cannot develop the clear understanding it because there is something to obscure you, like clouded 了, 遮住 了, 因为那个无明呢, is a real what they call the avijja, the ignorant, is a real coming obstruction that really obstruct that nature from shining forth. And because of that, they can't develop the understanding. As a cultivator of the way, without realizing the true mind, there is no chance at all, no way to become awakened. Just like the Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Whereas the heedless is as if dead. So heedlessness, you don't stand a chance. The moment you are heedful, you become different. You are destined for enlightenment. But when you are caught in delusion, that delusion will condition the heedless thinking, the wrong thought, and that will continuously trap living being in samsara, in birth and death. And because of that, samsara continue to spin. That's why that delusion that living being doesn't have the ability to rid it of or go beyond means you cannot like realize the truth to awaken. Then the trap within the samsaric cycle or delusional cycle is very severe, very severe. As a living being, find it very difficult to come out of it. But for cultivator of the way, it's very different, like your case and all those who have control. They understand the form and mind, the sixth sense. Then the moment of consciousness when it arises, what is the movement behind? All become very clear. That's why without sati, without awareness, without heedfulness, you cannot deal with life, you cannot cope with life, you cannot develop such understanding to go beyond, to liberate the mind, to free the mind from all this entanglement, which is very important as far as cultivation is concerned. Very good, Sadhu, Alicia.
所以在我们的生活的点点滴滴里面，其实我们可以学习到很多的佛法。对，佛法的道场就是生活。是的。所以每一个的 moment to moment， 我都发觉啊，真的是 Bradio 讲的 Dharma is everywhere.
Yeah, in the midst of life and nature. Why can't we see? Why can't living beings see? 因为你没有那个 true mind 啊, you cannot see 啊, 看不到的，真的好像一层的东西遮着你了，completely you got no way of coming out of it 啊，它就是来盖到你啊，整个好像无明啊，无明啊 ，until there is no light on， you cannot come out of it on， that 无明 is really very very dangerous。That's why when it comes to cultivation, it's about developing this understanding to go beyond the mundane mind, to transcend thought, to realize that true mind. Then from there, develop the cultivation to awaken, to realize the wisdom and the understanding. Then once that nature is awakened to, then whatever you do is always with that nature. That's why Hui Ning, when he taught the sincere disciple, he said, what he teach is to take you direct to the true mind. He don't teach the what they call the traditional way, where you do without understanding. This one is with understanding. Straight away, the first hallmark of Hui Ning, he said, you have to realize that state which is without thought. And like I always come out with the gong an, or the what they call pointer. Without thought, who are you? This is for those who already know how to develop the meditation, the awareness within, know how to silence their mind. Then in that silence, you find out. You don't go and think now. You just silent, fully aware. Then find out, who are you? What are you? You realize that entity cannot come on. There is he know you, he know me inside there. It's just that thing only, that thing only. And that thing is not a word or something that you can manifest. And it's not a being that can come out and live. It's just that nature inside that. That's why you must realize that without thought, who are you? So all these are very beautiful understanding after you have gone through the cultivation. Then, like how you actually over the years develop all this understanding. But today one, I think, is a reminder to you that was 5 over years ago. So you have developed it 3 years ahead of that. Means 8 over years ago, you already able to see the wrong thought and all those things. That's why you become different. So at that time, you were able to be with the moment in silent inner awareness, to be aware of all this thought activity and movement. Then from your, what they call, entanglement with depression earlier on, you have the causes and conditions to see them because you know the first noble truth of dukkha very clearly, and that one no need explanation. Well, for you have seen it moving in you, your former mind, for the past 17 years, and because of that, when the Dhamma is being spoken, you can straight away relate to it. Then you can like confirm it. Yeah, no wonder I get into such mess and trouble. No wonder the mind becomes so afflicted. It's because of the wrong thought that unceasingly keep on arising. Well, that type of wrong thought is due to our behavior, our habitual tendency, our karmic conditioning. So all this trigger of very strong karmic conditioning. That's why when the karmic conditioning hit, the living being cannot free, cannot escape. Because to come out of that karmic need another what we call another field of Dhamma understanding. First, like I say, you have to ask for forgiveness, repentance. It has to be done sincerely. After you ask for repentance, forgiveness, then only you move on to the next step. The next step is you sincerely determined not to repeat all this by changing your way, changing the way you live your life, changing the way you arise, your thought process, your speech, your action, the way you live your life. So this is what they call following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to do good, to purify the mind, so that the cultivation can start anew. Then the repentance is very important, because repentance means 忏悔, means you know this is wrong, not just ask for forgiveness. A lot of people ask for forgiveness without knowing that this is wrong. They say, okay, ask for forgiveness, sorry. But they don't really have the understanding. Whereas the word repentance is to repent, to change your way, no longer go back to the old way. It means you understand the seriousness of what happened, like your case, when you saw how that suffering has been entangling you and affecting you for so long. And now, suddenly, the secret is being told to you. And for you to investigate is very easy, because when you understand what suffering is after you have gone through the depression, then to develop the understanding becomes very easy. You just have to be aware of the movement. Then you just have to confirm what happened. This is what Dhamma investigation is all about. That's why you straight away come to that very profound, clear understanding. Oh, no wonder I'm in such mess for so long. I can't come out of it because I fail to understand that this is delusion, attachment, craving, clinging, born of wrong view, wrong thought. And the mind keep on stirring, reacting. And there is no Dhamma teaching to come out of it, to free the mind out of it. That's why to free, you have to do the three things. Repentance, which you all did, and you did very well too. Ask for forgiveness. Then determine not to repeat all this by cultivating. That's why you start cultivating all the right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the mindfulness, ever mindful to trace the origination factor, to be aware of the evil roots, to be sensitive. That's how cultivation come about. Then you start to see the importance of precepts. Then you realize this precept, you cannot play a fool. You cannot ignore, because it is so what they call powerful. It will show it to you that this is a nature's law. Living being cannot allow themselves to fall again to delusion, to ignorance. That's why you were determined to take care of karma, to come out of it, and to repent and to change over to a new life. Then from there onward, you cultivate following the advice of the Buddha to purify the mind. So avoiding all evil, cultivate wholesomeness and goodness is part and parcel of keeping precept and cultivating the virtuous aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then the final advice is to purify the mind, is to meditate, to develop the first, second, and third turning wisdom through constantly listening to the Dhamma, straightening one's view. Then from there, you develop the silent mind to awaken, to insight into phenomena, to develop clear understanding of all the unreality of form and mind, the universal characteristics of all phenomena, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Then the silent mind learn to see things as they are, the direct see. And this is what meditation is all about. It goes back to mindfulness, heedfulness, the silent mind. So all this is what progress is all about. Without all this understanding, the cultivation cannot take off. And very difficult for people who don't have the understanding to actually move. That's why cultivation is not about doing, You don't understand the doing is a waste of time. Like I always explain, thought-based meditation cannot free the mind. So you need to have certain basic understanding of the essential Dhamma to move. And the most important one is, of course, heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. So how to be ever mindful? We have to train our mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use that ever mindful state to cultivate, to develop heedfulness. So the ever mindful, constantly meditative, combine these two, you become heedful. And constantly meditative, constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. And that Noble Eightfold Path is the path that will lead to the end of all suffering. And that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why that teaching is very beautiful. So looking back now, all our sharing, you realize, fall back to the few basic essential Dhamma and understanding. Especially Noble Eightfold Path. That's why I always share with you all. Whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is to prevent deviation, prevent cultivator from getting lost. So this is a very good check. Finally, it will bring you back to the cultivation of heedfulness, leading to the awakening. Your heedfulness leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path that awakens the individual's nature. So all this understanding, I think, will help. So after all the good sharing by various Kayamita, especially from Alicia recently, they are all very good, even Pochen, they are all, Envy, they are all, and many others. So once again, Sadhu, rejoice.
Okay,
Alicia, you can continue.
Brother 教我们的 basic essential dharma 很丰富，因为treating of the four noble truth， 如果我们真正做，你就知道 first turning itself 啊，那个 eight reality 很逼迫性，
yeah， 很重要的，
弄到你哇，你就很 determined 的发愿去，
yeah， 对，
走出来。I mean for my case 啊，我觉得哇。
Yeah。
很逼迫性逼到你哦，你好像除了你的 refuge from the triple gem 啊，你没有别的路，所以我就很 determined 的在佛菩萨面前的去发愿和忏悔，我一定要like no， 我知道错了我就要改，所以这个是 maybe part of the 这个我的 cultivation that can you know
yeah because you did those things。
Yes，
you did
因为我真的很 determined， 我一直在
yeah，
改，因为我知道我以前真的是错了，所以在改是在改，所以这样子。还有就是 Brad 就每天都 remind 我们的是，就是 whenever 我们的 mind 不我就 call
not peaceful，
是 not peaceful， 那个
check 最重要。那个三毒就在里面的 evil roots are there， the wrong thoughts are there。
而且你如果有 aware 到你的脸是紧绷的，
对，
你有烦恼的时候，哇，我的感觉让我觉得哇很不舒服。
Yeah， 很容易感觉到的 with mindfulness 啊，因为我们的那个 mundane mind feeling nature 很 fast 哦，它的 movement， so to the awareness is like very clear one, no? The slightest movement away from the pure feeling, straight away you sense it one. Because that movement actually affect your nature. Your nature straight away, 你了解了不对路了，摇动了。Then straight away, it make you aware. Then, 如果你已经修了, the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, you have the initial wisdom 和 universal manasikara，then 那个就 straight away 啊现出来了，it will come out and prompt you spontaneously prompt you。Then you will understand that this is not the way to live life. So all this movement created by the delusion, 分别心 all those things, the habitual tendency, the stirring, the movement, 你一切都很清楚了的。And because of that 啊，它不会 affect 你了的。That's why 那个修行者 the cultivator of the way, they can liberate their mind is because of their true mind, their true nature become very sensitive already. Because the awareness, the sati has become so different. That's why the stability of that sati very important. And 你们经过了的，你们就会了解了。That's why when you analyze, or I should say, go through the whole understanding, means you reflect and you contemplate back how you all develop all this understanding. You will come back to those few basic essential dhamma that I share with. Seeing the entanglement, the delusion, and all those things, then you determine like your case. The first noble truth, once it's explained to you realize it's so important because this will relate to your depression. The 17 years, you have gone through all the multiple conditions. In fact, all the eight conditions, they were all there. Of course, there are some of the reality that are more harsh, like separation. Then the what they call when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get over your heart, that one hit you very severely. Of course, the old age sickness and death, that one the reality surface later. As you go through life, as you age, and all those things. But the fifth, sixth, seventh, and the eighth, the final summary, they are all the time there. And they affect living being a lot. And especially for your case where you went through for 17 years, then you start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Once you understand that, means you understand the secret of life, like how I understand it. Because the eight reality are actually the reality of life and existence, the mundane aspect. When I understand the mundane aspect of life, then I know how I get myself entangled, the second noble truth, the cause of its arising. Then I know how to manage my life. That's why you determine to change. You determine to repent, you ask for forgiveness, repent, and you determine to cultivate the essential Dhamma to straighten your view and then to develop all the heedfulness, mindfulness, stability of it, then understand what constitutes evil, then from there develop the four right effort following the Noble Eightfold Path. So all this cultivation, one by one, they will fall into place. And that's how the Abhijja Sutta is being structured to the 10 step. And the 10 step is very clear. We have the first three, four steps, like I said, Kaya Mitra all have, Dharma friends we have, the opportunity to listen to the true Dharma we have, the second one, then the faith in the Triple Gem we have. Then after that faith will trigger off the initial wisdom. Because once you have the faith, it will drive you to cultivate, to develop sati sampajana. Then at the same time, the step five, which is sati sampajana, will fall into place. Then when you have this, you will be very like confident in the cultivation, where you start to see a lot of things like that. Your Dhamma investigation, they stand up the investigation, give you stronger faith, become unshakable. Then after that, you realize you cannot break the precept already. Then sense restraint become like automatic already. Where you realize that nature's law is so powerful, you can never violate already because of your mindfulness, your awareness, your sensitivity. So sense restraint is step six already. Then with sense restraint, your noble effort about cultivation will become different. Oh, then you are incapable of arising the three way of wrong conduct. Based wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action cannot arise. And then that time you will develop step seven, which is the three way of right conduct. So all your thought process, your speech, and your action, and the way you live your life is all in accordance with noble eightfold path. That's why that step seven will actually differentiate you from normal unenlightened being. The step six and seven, you definitely at least would have gone through the first stage of sinhood or second stage of sinhood. Then after that, your step eight become very easy, because to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness after you have developed the first seven become very easy, because the mindfulness already stabilized. The stability of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, all already done already. Then when you go towards step eight, which is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness, all the teaching inside there, like the word, you, the moment you read, you understand. The moment you read, you understand. You can see it happening in you. So, then after that, the seven factors of enlightenment, the step nine, keep on arising. Then you know you're on the right path. Then there is so much joy. Then from there, the seven factors of enlightenment, these are factors of enlightenment. Once you see them arising, you know you're on the right path. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why you will realize arahantship. Then, or at least anagami, then not long, you go beyond arahant. Then those who take the bodhisattva vow, you already have the vow. And that one actually can move you onto the bodhisattva way very fast. So from avijja sutta, you move on to the cultivation of the bodhisattva way, the Mahayana, they call it the larger vehicle, or Da Chen, Maha, the great vehicle. And that one is what we call the cultivation of the bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood, the realization of Sammasambuddhahood, which is the 10th perfection. So all this understanding and movement, as you go deeper and deeper into the cultivation, it starts to become clearer and clearer and clearer to the cultivator of the way. That's why all this sharing can help bring forth the causes and conditions for all this understanding to surface. Then this will help a lot of kilometers and also future cultivator of the way who have the condition to chance upon these teachings or this website to go through all this sharing and understanding. Then it become very phenomenal in the future. It can help a lot of people. So my nature like this type of sharing. That's why it rejoins and it really have the joy to see all these are moving in the right direction. That's why the Kayamita's nature, the Kayamita force, they are gathering momentum. They are moving faster and faster. And a lot of you will develop good progress very fast. The main thing is faith. Develop the faith, sadha. Then with that sadha, be sincere. Then patiently cultivate. Persevere, because you must make aspiration, affirmation, plant the seed of bohi, be determined, like what Alicia went through in the early day. When you see the beauty of this teaching, the importance of this teaching, you don't want to be trapped within again. You want to be free, and not only this life, life after life. That's why you will develop the affirmation, the determination, and the understanding to go this way with your full understanding, faith, and sincerity. That will move you and help you plant the seed of bodhi deep into your nature, so that life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come, your nature will move. The Bodhi mind will arise. And all this will manifest based on what you have vowed, what you have developed as aspiration. So the Bodhisattva vow, when you have the understanding, especially this window, this life, you plant it and take the vow with very, very strong faith, sincerity, and you determine strongly. All your future will be taken care of. With all the right view, right understanding, they are already there. Then this window, given that condition for all of you as Kayamita, to be born as a human being, to have a true Dhamma, you only need to move. That's why that affirmation, that understanding, that faith, that perseverance, that sincerity is very important. With that, it will move. And every one of you will become beautiful. I remember many years back, there were these ducklings that tried to climb the step. Well, finally, all the ducklings went up, especially the last few ones. When they saw most of them gain momentum to go up, oh, everyone had that faith and that joy. Then very fast, the rest all went up. That is what will happen. That's why a lot of holy beings, they need this type of motivation, the faith and all those things. So all this sharing will be very good. So thank you so much, Alicia. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu, brother. It's so beautiful. Actually, this journey really is... 我不能用言语去形容, but 它真的是非常的奥妙。 我记得以前我起初去 Brandeo 那边学佛, 人家都问我, 你为什么要去学佛? 然后我就, 我就, you know, 那时候我也不懂为什么学佛, you know, but 我在挂在嘴边说, 了生死, 到底其实当下的了生死, 我也不知道很清楚, 可是现在的 understanding 学佛的, 就说你那个 direction 是很clear, 而且已经不是只是了生死, 这么,
对。
I mean, you know, wow.
对对对, the understanding is already very deep,
yes,
and very
yes,
different.
Yes.
就好像那个华语歌曲啊, 我们不一样了, 不一样。
是的,
because,
brand new. So that's very amazing. And
对,
you know, but,
对。
And then recently the Dharma came to me was a 法上因舍和匡非法, 就是金刚经里面的那个, 那个讲座的, then 我就讲, 哎呦, 我好像不明白, 可是有一天的早上, 当我起来的时候, 他是 answer 出来说, 实相般若, 他是说实相, 已经不在这个, 这个, 什么所谓的那个, 世间法, 哈, 哇,
对,
我打,
对,
but it's so amazing.
That's why it's very amazing. 你看得到他的那个佛法, 真的flower出来的, 真的, that's why very different.
是, Bradio 他是怎样讲, 他是说, keep on arising, keep on arising, 那个 understand.
Yeah, yeah, unending, yeah.
So,
and keep on letting you understand.
是的,
that's why 世间 means within the condition world, the Dhamma keep on arising. Then Paul or Paul or me means that perfection, the paramita, actually can give rise to that type of understanding. But once you have developed the perfection, then the understanding keep on arising, keep on manifesting. That's why it become wonderful Dhamma. That everything is like so different now, so meaningful, so wonderful, so amazing. That's why all the beautiful description of Dhamma, all this word manifest, manifest. Only cultivator of the way can have that type of understanding and realization. And it is so different from normal teaching. We are the one that has the true understanding. When they manifest, they really manifest so beautifully. Like you use the word 很奥妙, 很神奇, a lot of things. It just manifests.
And how the bread you 剩下来的时间, 我想给 Miss Lee
做分享。可以可以可以。And
the bread you
阿弥陀佛。可以，感恩阿弥陀佛。 Miss Lee, are you there?
Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah. Thank you, and Sadhu Alicia for the good understanding. And also thanks a lot from Brother Chiu summarize it for her understanding.
Yeah.
That's very meaningful. And
it's
very meaningful to have this today revisions again, which compared to the understanding of the current mind and the previous mind is totally in a different direction.
对，因为以前
last time we actually come in and we are our mind is always seeking outside.
对对对对。The
mind it doesn't actually going inward and a lot of things the brother talking about actually is talking more on the functions of the mundane mind.
Correct.
And
yes.
And also advises on the solutions to it.
Yeah.
But for when our mind is in that condition, we cannot understand because it's a different direction. But now is every words become very, we can actually witness it that it happened in our mind.
Yes.
So that one, that's one that, that make our meditation become deeper and deeper.
Mm.
And also that what our friend Alicia was saying that actually what her experience I also experienced once in the meantime. When when the foul smell comes from the old folks home where the disposal truck came in.
Rubbish truck and all those.
From a very peaceful mind, suddenly there is a dislike come up, you know, once
the six very powerful one.
But luckily that time because the mind is quite still, then the it moves in a very slow, you can really see it.
Because the awareness is the one that actually appear like slow down. Actually because you are aware, then that movement, the dwelling didn't go through. That's why at that moment, the moment that sense data trigger of that smell consciousness before the discrimination come in, the awareness of it. That's why the awareness of it is the unisoul manasikara. Where at the moment of sense experience, the spontaneous understanding, that one trigger off and prevent the mind from developing further. Means follow the paticca-samuppada from feeling become craving. This is negative craving because he wants to push it away. Then that negative craving sometimes can continue to stir and create what they call grasping. Then it can become very severe. Then the thought can actually trigger a lot of what they call justification or anger, unhappiness, then misunderstanding everything. That proliferation is very fast. And that is what normal living beings who don't have the Dhamma will get into that state. And this one develops until habit. It becomes habitual. So when you continuously react and stir, not only smell, every of the six senses also like that. That's why the like and dislike, the pleasant, unpleasant, the sensual desire and the ill will. The first two mental hindrance become very, very strong. When you have the first two mental hindrance very strong, how can you be in the meditative state? That's why they cannot develop the daily mindfulness, the awareness, because of this mental hindrance that arise through habitual tendency. Because you did it so often, every moment of sense experience, living being stir and react. Only cultivator of the way has the understanding to be aware. The moment you are aware, you are at peace, understand now? That is the reality, like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. That's why one has to straighten one's view to accept the reality of the moment. when you are aware, you have the initial wisdom, Uniso Manasikara, that one spring for you to develop the understanding, to accept the reality. That's why I share with you all, you got two choices. One is to react to it and become afflicted or miserable and allow the mind to stir. The other way is to understand. You got two choices. Either accept and move, echo and flow, and develop the understanding to live life and to be at peace with all situations or be afflicted. So these two understanding is very important. There's a cultivator of the way will keep on smiling, rejoicing, accepting, because this is what reality is. There is no question like, "Ayo, how come my mind still stir? How come I still react?" That one is deluded people, because all this movement is due to avijja. The reality is, thing is just the way it is. Anger was never you. Like and dislike was never you. They are sankhara activity. Sankhara means the seven consciousness, the discriminating consciousness. But this consciousness always got duality. Because it's egoic, understand? It's limited. That's why it has the duality inside that. So if you cannot see that, you cannot come out of it. It will continue to affect you or agitate the living being. So sankhara anicham, like the Buddha said. Sabbe sankhara anicham. Then sabbe sankhara dukkham. The moment you attach, cling, and give meaning, suffering arises. That's why this morning chanting that we always had during the retreat, where we chant, rupang anicham, rupang anatta. Then we repeat for sanya or vedana, then sanya, then sankhara anicca, sankhara anatta. So all this, including vijnana, is to remind us that all these are conditions arising, having the universal characteristic. The moment you cling, grasp, give meaning, suffering is the result. And why? Because they are dependent originating. That's why it's impermanent. And the three universal characteristics is linked to impermanent. And why is it impermanent? Because it's dependent originating. It's a conditional yin yang fa. That's why each year you waver. Everything within the conditioned world is conditioned number. Dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases, it ceases. The sustainment of it also supported by condition. That's why you will start to see the Paticca Samuppada very clearly. So this Paticca Samuppada is the law of dependent originating. Dependent on certain causes and conditions, it originates. Then when the causes and conditions cease to be, then it ceases to be. So things that arise and pass away, dependent on condition, how can it be a permanent unchanging entity? That's why it's impermanent. And if it's impermanent, it leads to suffering. How can you say this is me, this is I, this is deluded? And they come and they go, you didn't die. How can you say the aggregates belongs to you? So all this contemplation, reflection, and the morning chanting is the Buddha's way of letting the cultivator of the way understand all this until you contemplate them, until they are very stable. Then they become your wisdom, Uniso Manasikara. That's why it was spring for. Sabbe Sankara Anicang. Normally, no need the word Sabbe. Sankara Anicang, Sankara Dukkang. Straight away, it stopped already. Where is Sankara? That's why that teaches the seven conscious. Now, I have the condition to explain it deeper because the way Miss Lee bring out is different. It ties in with the Alicia one. So this sankhara activity, which is the discriminative consciousness that arises due to our egoic mind that don't have the wisdom, don't have the uniso manasikara. So this is the one that condition, delusion, suffering, misery, because it creates duality. And once duality arises, the dust arises. Then living being deludedly try to like overcome it or do away with it. How can you create duality and want to do away with duality? You can't. You have to transcend duality through what? Through wisdom, like the Buddha teach. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. That's why in Pali is it. Imas means sati. Idang hoti. Then the other one is imas means asati. Idang arhoti. So that explains duality. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that automatically ceases. So it's just so simple. But to penetrate that duality understanding is very difficult. Because if you don't create on one side, if there is no good, there will be no bad. You realize that. Then when you don't arise, any duality means you can be at peace with all things. Why? Because the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. We are within the nature at any one time. The causes and conditions already set, understand not? It has to be this way, the movement. It cannot be other way. That's why that is the reality. What is? Suchness is the reality. Conditions like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arise, there are causes. So at any one time, it's fixed. It's not your truth, not my truth. Cannot be any other way. It is the reality. That's why when it is the reality, where got good and bad? Thing is just the way it is. It's how you perceive it. If you perceive it in negativity, then it becomes negative. But if you perceive it as a blessing in disguise or with wholesomeness, then it becomes wholesome. Understand now? So the way the individual perceives is the individual's views, opinion of truth. But the truth, the real truth, which is Dhamma within nature, has got no duality. Understand? Truth is. That's why reality is. Means not your truth, not my truth, but nature's truth. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. So this understanding becomes very penetrating until you become like very clear. Then everything that is being shared like fall into place. Even the Diamond Sutta, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, even my teacher Acharyantra say we choose accept everything as natural. They're all the saying by the Buddha. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Straight away from there, you can deduce or come up with the understanding and awaken. So all this will fall into place. That's why with today's sharing, like what Ms. Lee mentioned is true. You can understand it from different approaches and different sharing approaches and conditioning. So all this will make it very, very clear. Because today's sharing is to go into detail about the seven consciousness. Because the Mahayana way of describing the seven consciousness is very good. Discriminating consciousness. It is the sankhara that has mental intention inside there to create the movement inside that sankhara aggregate. So sankhara is actually the content of consciousness. Everything that the mind can do, including feeling and perception, is sankhara. So understanding sankhara is very important. That's why sankhara create discrimination. And discrimination is duality. The Mandarin word is very good. To discriminate. But the English word, sometimes if you are English educated, you cannot get the full meaning. Because that discrimination is like, it's already make you like negative already. You discriminate negative already. But 分别 is to differentiate, understand? You didn't fall into the negative part. That's why when I started that time because I'm English educator. He said the discriminative mind, to me, is like not the correct word. But when I heard the word fen bie xing, I understand it very deeply, you know, the Mandarin word. Oh. Because that mind that discriminate actually is fen bie, that create a duality to or division, create division. It's not discriminative, understand? It create division. So when it create division, it oscillate between the two. Means without wisdom, you can become discriminative, means you take side. But when you have the wisdom, it can stay in equanimity. Means it doesn't have to take side, but it understand thing is just the way it is. Then it can be at peace. Then you transcend duality to understanding, through wisdom, to accept the reality of the moment. That's why you will not allow the mind to create all this duality, unnecessary stirring and reaction. So, Dhamma cultivation is to be mindful of all this movement activity and understand how you become conditioned into negativity and how you get yourself entangled, afflicted, and become miserable over what you hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to through your delusion, through your sakayadity, through your ignorance or avijja, the lack of understanding of the three right views, the spiritual right view. So all this understanding, as you cultivate, they will keep on stabilizing, through all the awareness moment that allow you to see clearly, contemplate deep into it. And well, once all this understanding stabilize, especially the second turning, contemplation, reflection, once it stabilized, then that direct seeing will trigger off the insight into phenomena and thoroughly awaken your nature. Then when your nature has the awakening, that wisdom is connected to the form and mind. That's why from there onward, the form and mind can never be deluded or deceived anymore. So this is how it can actually happen when you cultivate correctly. So hopefully with all this sharing, it will give you all better, clearer understanding, because we are approaching it from multi-prone or angle of sharing and analogy. And today one I want to emphasize is because that discriminative consciousness is the movement inside the container of consciousness, which most people don't see on. Without mindfulness, you cannot see on. You can only like reason about it through the intellect, through the knowledge. Then you try to describe it. But when you see it moving inside your sati or daily mindfulness, or when your awareness stabilized, when you see that movement inside there, then you really awaken to you. Then you really know what that seven consciousness is all about. Because that is the one that creates havoc in the living being. Without wisdom, that seven and eight very fast. And the sixth consciousness is a perception that brings the external form into the mind, and that is the sense data. That's why when you go to the brain, through that perception, the sense data come in. And our brain is an organ. So you make contact, it trigger consciousness, the eight consciousness. That's why the Tipa Sir. But the content of consciousness is the Ti Chi Se, and that content is Sankara. And that one is the one that create all the discriminative movement, the division, the duality, all those things, they are within the egoic mind that has the delusion, the ignorance, sakayadity. So see all this clearly, contemplate into it, reflect into it. Then when your understanding stabilized, you will be very surprised. Day by day, you become different. Day by day, you become different. Then all of a sudden, one day, you realize you cannot become like before already. Your mind doesn't have all those movement activity already. Everything has become very clear, stabilized. Then everything is just the way it is. Whatever happens, you will be able to have the understanding to be at peace with all conditions, all state that arise, all situation within nature, within life, within existence. So all this will fall into place and become very beautiful. Okay? So sadhu to you, Miss Lee. Yeah, you can continue a bit more.
Thank you, Rachel. It's really today's sharing is really a holistic sharing from two aspects of the mind.
Yeah.
Then another one is like recently I heard songs how he practiced, how he do his daily mindfulness. I think that one also is very good because that's the initial stage of bringing back the awareness as when he lost it.
Yeah.
But when this habit has been continuously and it will be actually awakened to the awareness later on, and it once that happened, what Brother Still mentioned about the seeing as it says, be with the meditation awareness, all this will actually surface.
Yeah, it become possible. Yeah.
Yeah, it become possible, and what you shared that the meaning will be deepened again.
Yeah.
Very
penetrating. It will stand out clearer and clearer.
And I noticed that when the meditative mind, once you have the meditative mind, it become tong.
Correct.
Correct.
But because
I cannot
that meditative
explain in
mind
English.
Is your true mind, the awareness. It don't have words one. It don't have entanglement one. It got nothing inside that one. So that awareness is just aware. It not keep
and
going.
It know what to do one, you know.
That is the wisdom part behind the yoniso manasikara.
Yeah.
So that part you must not like confused. It was surface one. At the moment of sense experience, it keep on surfacing one. Because when you have a clear understanding already, later on you will know you will always be at the heart level, means at your true mind. You don't move on to your brain anymore, the memory there. But that one is actually mundane living. But the true living is from your awareness nature, from your true mind. You aware from there, you listen from there. Everything you do, the sixth sense door from there. Means there is no egoic mind involved. There is no thought involved. There is just the awareness nature that is just aware. Aware, understand. No more like last time. Conscious thing. Why? You go to memory. And memory is what? Accumulated memories, good and bad. So all this accumulated memory is where the thought arises. What is thought? Respond to all this memory. That's why when you create this type of thought got egoic function on it, but it's limited. And it's egoic. Because this one is like the spacious awareness shrink into a small space, then you input the content, that's why it's limited. And you are lost inside that. And you don't have the awareness to see the totality, that's why it's limited. And most of it is egoic, dualistic. So that thing that is trapped in the thought, the awareness nature will see very clearly, then you know acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you need to act with understanding, which is wisdom. And that wisdom is connected to our nature. Well, our nature, when we meditate through the silent mind, it awakens. When it awakens, no need to remember one, no need to keep in memory one. That understanding, that wisdom is with our nature, connected. That's why it's always there one. No need to remember one. When you confront a situation, it will manifest one. It will understand one. That's why, like Guang Qing Lao Sang, he said, people ask him, 什么是智慧? He said, 智慧, sometimes when it arises, the cultivator, 修行者, also doesn't know it. But the peculiar characteristic of wisdom is when that particular cultivator confront a situation, he know what to do and act. And that is wisdom. That is the correct one. Yeah. That is the understanding, because that one awakened from that silent mind, that nature. And that one, no need to remember. It's not a memory. That is an understanding that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that one will stick to your nature. Yeah. But of course, when you're this five aggregate of form and mind completely cease or disperse, then that wisdom also follow. Then when you come again, like I explained last time, the karmic nature and the spiritual nature, these two, they will start to interact again. Then maybe you shine here. I just explained a bit on the whiteboard. So what happened is, when the enlightened being, let's say Parinibbana, or they already the five aggregate of form and mind no more, then what happened is the wisdom connected to the five aggregate of form and mind, that one also ceased. Then in future, let's say they come back as a bodhisattva, what happened is, immediately when this human being of five aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being, the moment you are born, the karmic nature straight away fall into place, because this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, is born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So during this time, you cannot inherit any other spiritual nature. Your wisdom that in the past life you have cultivated, also it won't come back to you now. But this spiritual nature is different. You cannot inherit immediately. You need to develop this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, to cultivate, to actually make contact with the true mind. So this one, when it makes contact with the true mind, let's go and get the blank ink. So this one must make contact first. So after it makes contact, what happens is, you realize that true mind. After you realize that true mind, then you will be able to inherit from the spiritual nature all your spiritual perfection. They will slowly come back to you. Then because you have cultivated before, so whatever you encounter this life, you will be able to actually inherit them very fast. Depend on your cultivation and your perfection. So if you have done it before, and if you have developed the stability of it, just like my nature this life, very fast I receive all this understanding. That's why I told you all, a lot of things that my nature understand this life, I never learned this life. Yeah, my teacher also never teach me. It's not from them. They also don't have that type of expertise or understanding. Then how did I know? It's because I have cultivated it before from the past. Then wherever that is true, this being that has that spiritual nature, once it connect with the true mind, the understanding keep on flowing, keep on flowing. Then this one will develop what they call the wisdom again. So once this one flow, it will trigger off what they call the wisdom. So this part, which is wisdom, come later. Yeah. So this one, once it trigger off, is connected to the five aggregate of form and mind. So this wisdom is not a knowledge, not a memory. You no need to remember. So this one will connect to this. But the moment the five aggregate of form and mind cease, once this one cease, then this one will also cease. Understand? Because it is connected to it. But from here, to connect to that spiritual nature, which is your true mind, from there, it awakens. Then this wisdom is actually connected to it. But once this five aggregate of form and mind disperse, then this one also disperse. Also disperse. So this is the understanding that I want you all to understand. So when you have that understanding, that is easier for you all in the future to develop all this understanding clearly. Okay, Yeah, so I think it's already 8 minutes past six. We have to stop. So we will have to end. So I'll pass back to Miss Lee to summarize if there's anything. Then after that, we end. Miss Lee.
I think that's about all to share. But I really appreciate today sharings again because it really lets we understand what actually previous time, how our mind functions, you know, that
correct, yes. And also the further
concern.
Understanding of the two nature, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature.
Yeah.
Because these two is not easy to understand. Especially the spiritual nature. How you can actually tap from it? It's not immediate one. You have to wait till you have the condition to meditate and develop that connection. Connect means connect back to your true mind, your silent mind, your nature within. Means basically, you must have the condition to actually make that contact first. Once you make that contact, then that inheritance from the spiritual nature become possible, slowly become. Then as you stabilize that gateway to that nature, then that internal movement and transformation will enable you to inherit very, very fast. I remember that time, everything just happened and it just come very fast. Then like the awakening, the understanding, they keep on arising, especially after the first 9 months, when the mundane mind collapsed. After the mundane mind collapsed, then nature shine for a lot of things happen. Then you understand what that spiritual nature is, how beautiful that perfection is, and how it actually comes and develop the clear understanding to assist the form and mind to have all this ability. Then your consciousness, which is your pure awareness within, become very, very different because it's a wisdom energy, very fine, very fine. Initially, it has to reach that fineness until the mundane mind cannot take the vibration. Well, the mundane mind by then will become like too gross. It cannot stay inside there. That's why the mundane mind will collapse. Then you don't have the mundane mind one, the thinking mind, the mundane mind gone. Then there is a supramundane, pure mind, which is like no mind at all inside there. That one, it will surface. Then I remember I had to learn to use that mind. And that mind, I tell you, is so different from the mundane mind. But the mundane mind, I realized after that, very easy to cultivate on, relatively a lot easier. But that supramundane mind, actually no need to cultivate on. But because we have gone through that cultivation, we think we must also train the supramundane mind to develop the ability to meditate. But actually no need one. When you understand, it will fall into place by itself. But that one is not so easy to develop the training and the mindfulness. That's why after I went through, then I realized, actually towards the end is the understanding that actually bring forth the transformation and all this become possible. So this is the additional sharing that my nature want to share because today there is condition. So thank you so much for Alicia and Miss Lee for creating the condition today. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we should end already. 6:13 already. Oh, very fast. Sorry for taking extra 30 minutes. Let us do the sharing of merit, transform merit, and the closing puja. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nya tina hotu sugita hontu nya tayo idam me nya tina hotu sugita hontu nya tayo devo asat kalina sasa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyang kramina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Vanya Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole sub session. Eh? Thank you so much. Sadhu.